The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray doing some Friday duty as Tom Fairbanks begins the Christmas weekend a little bit early. Ray engineering and producing our Friday edition of the show. Hey, big anniversary for me personally. 30 years ago, I rolled into town, Dylan Smith, the day after the big snowfall of 1987, which was like a Christmas morning snowfall of 5 to 8 inches. And when I came into town, there was still snow all over the place the day after.
That was a nice Christmas snow that year.
Yeah.
It really started coming down hard about, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Big
Whoa.
Old giant snowflakes. And so it was nice.
30 years here in town.
Congrats for sticking it out, I guess.
I know. We are here, of course, weekdays live, noon to one on the Buckmaster Show. We stream and have our podcast worldwide live listening anywhere at Buckmaster Show and KVOI.com. Our media partners include TucsonSentinel.com. The editor and publisher and founder is seated to my right. Thank you very much, Dylan.
Thank you. Always great to be here.
Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun supports the program. Tucson Media Group, which includes the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, Desert News, other media partners, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonoran. Our Friday focus interview today, Tucson City Manager Michael Ortega. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you coming in. A lot of people kind of have started the Christmas holiday early, but you are still hard at work over at City Hall.
We appreciate that.
let's begin with the number of employees that you have, basically, to kind of shepherd and make sure things go well in running the city. As I recall, you know, I was mentioning 30 years ago, me coming to town, I think with 7 or 8 years ago, people used to complain, City of Tucson has so many people, it's top heavy. I don't know, you had about 6,600 employees at that period. What are you down to now?
4,477 to be exact.
Whoa. And is the city running, in your opinion, as efficiently as without those 2,000 other employees?
Well, I can't speak to what it was like, we'll say, in the good old days of having 6,600 employees. I can tell you that we struggle to provide services in some of our areas, and I know that we're looking hard at just what the expectations are for the provision of those services. You know, but people ask me, are you trying to right-size city government? And I'm not even sure what that means. The bottom line is that as I discussed this with the council and with the staff, we have X amount of dollars, and that's all we have to spend. So we have to provide the services within those means. And so as we go forward, certainly there's challenges, but ultimately that's where we are at this point.
What is right size? I mean, I guess you would take, there must be some kind of formula perhaps in your business that you look at the population. Is that how that works?
Well, I suspect so. And quite frankly, I don't know the exact answer to that because as I see it, we have, as I said, X amount of dollars, and we just try to provide the services best we can within those and looking for, you know, the efficiencies that go along with that.
Here's Dylan Smith.
I got a couple more questions on that before we jump to a different topic. But what areas that are in the city, what departments have you seen the largest reductions in your workforce?
So there's a couple of them. One of them is in what I'll call the business services area. And so those are all of the support functions where you got HR, you have finance, you have procurement, those kinds of functions, IT. And then you have parks. Parks has seen a huge reduction in its staffing. As I recall, and I'll go on a little bit of a limb here, Several years ago, the park's budget was around $40 million, and now it's in the high 20s. And so when you look at trying to provide services and you just drive around town, you can see some of the impact to that. We've got pools that are closed. We've got rec centers that are in disrepair. And we don't have nearly the number of staff members. Certainly public safety's taken a hit as well. I think that you can see that in the numbers, both in the police and fire, that have over time gone down. And so when you try to put all of the services in a basket, if you will, it's a tall order to do that in a way that provides the expectation or meets the expectation that the public wants.
Are some of those internal management things areas where you are still doing a capable job just by being more efficient? I know you've over the past several years, the city's really pushed using P cards, what are essentially the government credit cards, to handle transactions rather than, you know, having people submit work orders and checks and this and that, and, you know, taking a lot of that sort of cumbersome bureaucratic process out of things. Does that make you able to do it a little bit more affordably?
Absolutely. And one of the challenges, Dylan, is as a government, oftentimes you get stuck on the bureaucracy, all of the pieces that go along with approvals and that. But as I've kind of dissected that, it's really not a reduction of redundancies, but the elimination of redundancies. And so I ask, why are we touching that piece of paper? Why do we have the piece of paper to start with? We have over 900 pages of administrative directives, which are, quote, the rules, right? And so I've said, why? Why do we have to follow every one of them all the time? Let's challenge ourselves to look at that flexibility to provide that service. Ultimately, we're trying to be as efficient but also effective in providing that service to the customer, the ultimate taxpayer, if you will. And challenging ourselves is the first step in that. And then making sure that there's a clear accountability so that, you know, we're not reckless in our approach, but certainly there's room for those efficiencies.
With the police chief, is taking over now the duties of the retiring fire department chief. Chief Critchley has retired. So how long do you anticipate that we will have a kind of a combined leadership at police and fire?
So that's an interesting assertion. Actually, that isn't entirely accurate.
Okay.
Actually, it's not accurate at all, and I apologize for correcting
that's
you
good.
On
no,
that.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
There is not a movement to combine police and fire.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with the fire chief, the current fire chief, and by the way, he'll retire. He'll leave the 29th, so he's still around. We'll be looking at a search for a new fire chief. I think there's a lot of speculation about the combining of the two. I don't see that at this very moment. I think that ultimately there's differences in that in those functions. They need to retain their autonomy. But ultimately looking at the efficiencies of management structure. And so by doing this right now, or at least by this recruitment, gives us an opportunity to go out, test the waters, find out what's out there in terms of a chief. And it might be internal, it might be external. No decision on that's been made. We'll go through a thorough process and get to the business at hand.
So all this talk that there's going to be kind of a public safety czar, if you will, is just talk at this
it's
point.
It's just talk. No one had asked me, I guess, this first time.
I guess not. All right.
I'm letting
you
know.
I appreciate you.
That's
setting,
breaking news.
There you go. Set the record straight. Dylan.
Somewhat in that vein, what was that? Last week before, when we interviewed Councilman Kazacha.
He was with us, believe it or not, it was just a week ago.
Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. Some of this may have been stirred up by the discussions about combining the 911 services. And
correct.
We talked a little bit about that with the right. Councilman. Can you elaborate on that process a little bit?
Sure, Dylan. And I think that may have been part of the conversation, not only with Councilmember Kay, but really in the community. So we are moving on consolidation and combining the 911 services, which up until, I guess, Tuesday, there were two separate functions, one in police and one in fire. The council just approved the combining of that into one function, which is now a public safety communications department. And the focus there are two pieces. One is the efficiency. Don't need two management structures there. But more importantly, for the public, it's more efficient. And really, the systems that were used were, you know, you'd call one and then they'd be transferred, you'd be transferred to the other. The hope and the expectation is that we can reduce processing times in the ultimate configuration so that folks get to wherever they need quicker. And at least to our preliminary estimates, we can reduce it by about 30 seconds. And so that's a big deal when you're hanging on the other side of the phone. You know, 30 seconds seems like an eternity.
How long is this going to take, and what does it really involve? Were there two separate physical places that police and fire 911 were in? Are you putting them together?
Yes, they were yes to both. So they actually were separated by a large hall. And we had fire on one side and you had police on the other. And so what we're doing is combining them both physically as well as ultimately cross-training the staff and providing them a system whereby they can be not only more efficient but more effective in dealing with calls.
How long is that cross-training going to take to roll out?
So they have already started that. We expect it'll take at least a year to get the proficiencies that are necessary. And so we started the process. The council, as I mentioned, just on Tuesday established the department. The physical move took place already. That took place last week. We went through a huge upgrade, mandated upgrade from the state on our system, phone system, and it went off pretty much without a hitch. And so it's in process, and I suspect it's going to take about a year before most of the bugs are worked out.
So to get down to it real quick, for somebody who calls 911, you won't have that person answering the phone, asking you some triage questions to try and figure out whether to send you to police or to fire. It'll be when somebody answers the phone, that operator will be able to get all of the info needed, and quite often police and fire need to be dispatched to an incident.
That's exactly correct. That's the goal, and we're on our way to that goal.
All right, we'll take our break right here. City Manager Ortega will stick around for another segment, as will Dylan Smith. But right now, we'll take the break. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal Ollie Farhang. Ollie, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. On December 29th at 3:30 p.m., it's the Utah State Aggies versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Ollie, I understand these teams don't even like each other.
It's been 57 years of bad blood, and we're going to settle it on December 29th at Arizona Stadium.
So, New Year's Eve's coming early to the old Pueblo.
Mark, on December 28th in downtown Tucson, we're going to have the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. And on the 29th before the game, there's going to be the Desert Diamond Tailgate Festival with neon trees. After the game, it gets even better. You go right back downtown where Flock of Seagulls will be performing at the postgame party.
So where do people get more information?
Go to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
So all the net proceeds of this game go to charities. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It's awesome. And special thanks to our friends at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares. And the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, look out for scams. If you suspect a scam or want to be a hero and report a scam, go to BBB Scam Tracker at bbb.org. Second tip, be on the lookout for dubious companies and charities with similar names to a well-known entity. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A bit of movie trivia. What movie White Christmas first? Was it first sung in what film? Do you have any idea, Dylan Smith?
That is a bit of trivia that eludes me, I must admit.
1942, Holiday Inn was
All right.
the movie for White Christmas.
It's a great song.
All right. It is a good song. City Manager Mike Ortega is with us. Mr. Ortega, the city relies on sales tax. Sales tax have been kind of lukewarm. More and more people buying over the internet. And the city's not going to, in the future, you would think that the revenues would be on a downward curve.
That's right, Bill. And I think the conversation around that is, how do we provide as a community the services that are necessary, giving a shifting revenue model? And it's just kind of that simple. So as you think back, say 5-10 years ago, where internet sales were not as great as they are, I heard that this was the best Cyber Monday on record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, those are transactions that are provided that have no direct impact to the sales tax of the city. And so you start to look at that, and the services are still necessary. The cost of providing those services still go up. So there's a conversation around, you know, okay, so how do cities provide those same services given a different revenue model? And that's a macro conversation with not just, you know, the city of Tucson or the community of Tucson, but really probably state and even nationally.
Well, you look what's happening to the malls.
Absolutely. And just the bricks and mortar mm-hmm. stores are suffering, and it's just a change in the pattern of that, of the consumer, that's causing that. And it's not good or bad, it just is. And so I think the conversation is, how do we provide the fundamental services, you know, public safety, parks, roads, how do we do that in a changing environment?
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
there are some internet sales that are taxed and that the city receives some revenue from. It really depends on whether that business you're buying from has a physical location in Arizona. Like Amazon does. If you buy something from Amazon, mm-hmm. you pay state and city sales tax on it. If you buy something that's listed on Amazon, but you're not buying it from Amazon itself, mm-hmm. then you don't end up paying that. So it's kind of hit or miss whether you are actually helping to fund the city with what you buy online. Do you have any idea what sort of revenue you're getting from online sales, or do you get a check from the state that isn't really broken down that way?
Right. So we get a check from the state, and that's been part of the challenge of you know, how do we identify and truly have the conversation around that?
And that process here locally is quite a bit different than it used to be, right? The city used to collect its own sales tax, and now everything flows through the state. And
That's correct.
Does that sort of black box make forecasting things a little bit more difficult, or can you see the general trend anyway?
You can see the general trend. The big thing is there's a delay, obviously, in getting the dollars back to the community. But the forecast is a challenge, just because, you know, how the chemistry of those transactions has changed really makes it for a little bit of a challenge going forward. We all can see the economy is getting better. We see a lot of more movement. There's a lot more you know, you have conversation about how these transactions are occurring. But the sales tax overall is not reflective of that. Its growth is very slow.
And that's really the prime mechanism for the city to get some money to do these services, and people are expecting you to do more and more. What needs to be put on the table for discussion for alternative sources of revenue so that you can not have to cut back to the bare bones? There are some people that say the city should do that and just get back to, you know, paving the streets and making sure cops show up, and that's about it.
Sure. But again, Dylan, that's a conversation for the community. And I think Tucson is unique in that we can have a dialogue about that with the residents. And ultimately, those residents make that call. You know, certainly as a manager, I can make recommendations. As a city council, they can make policy suggestions and decisions. But ultimately, the voter is the one that decides that. And so, you know, what does it look like, and how are those services provided, and how much, quite frankly, are you willing to pay for them? And what is the mechanism? If you're not paying for it via sales tax, is there some other mechanism? And that's truly a conversation that's almost community by community driven. There isn't necessarily one ticket or one method that would or should potentially be used across the board.
Because you're limited in property tax, right? There's only so much property tax that you can put on.
Correct.
If you want to try and do that.
Correct. And so that's part of the challenge. You're limited not only by the charter, but you're also limited by the increase in the property tax at the state level. And so there are, we'll call them restrictions, that keep those conversations either not on the table or very, very minimally on the table.
Yeah.
What do you see as the big challenge in 2018?
So I think the continuing conversation around this exact topic, you know. So we know that our costs are going up. We have it's just more expensive to do business today, and you can pick all of the reasons that are across the board. But how do we continue to provide the fundamental services? You know, when I hear people say more with less, you know, quite frankly, that is almost offensive, because it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, that implies that we're not providing everything we can now. So how does that look, you know, going forward is part of the challenge. I think the exciting thing about 2018, council and I will be having a retreat towards the end of January. We'll be talking about what the future holds and having this exact conversation in a very public way with the council and charting some thoughts, some direction. And again, it's about engagement. It's about making sure that the entirety of the services we provide are on the table, and we have a conversation around how best to address some of the fundamental needs we have as a community.
And you have three real fundamental needs, as I see it, in a city. I'm going to begin with some may say the least of the three important, being parks. I would put in the middle there roads, and then police and fire as the most top priority.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how those will be funded. Roads, we've gotten support from the public. They decided, they voted,
They want better roads. But the police and the park issues are really still out there.
So, Bill, and you hit it right on the head, the roads piece has been a conversation where the voter has stepped up and said, we want better roads, and here's dollars that are associated with that. Prop 409 and Prop 101 are two mechanisms that will give us additional dollars to address, you know, some of the challenges we have in that realm. The voter also stepped up with public safety in terms of the Capitol. But there's also a conversation about the rest of it. You know, staffing and public safety was not addressed in Prop 101. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about our shortfalls in parks, as I mentioned earlier. We've got pools, we've got rec centers, we've got things that are out there that folks would focus on as quality of life that we don't have enough money to fund.
All right. Mike Ortega, hope it's a wonderful Merry Christmas and happy holiday season for you and your family, you and yours. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, as always. Good to see you and you too, Dylan.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is currently eighth in the world for the Newman's Own Holiday Challenge. You can help them raise money to support homeless pets and keep them in the top 10 to win additional cash prizes. All the money they raise will go directly toward caring for pets in need right here in our community. Visit hssaz.org/top10 to make your tax-deductible gift and show the world how much Southern Arizona loves pets. That's hssaz.org/top10.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Ray, I don't know how you did it. You picked out so far my three favorites. I'll Be Home for Christmas, White Christmas, and now The Christmas Song. And I'll Be Home for Christmas. We did a little trivia earlier about White Christmas. That was from the 1942 movie Holiday Inn. And I'll Be Home for Christmas, another World War II era introduction in a movie. And that movie was Since You Went Away. And that was 1944. So there we go, Dylan. You're learning a little movie trivia.
Getting us all up to speed, you are.
All righty. Time for our Friday roundtable. Joining me in studio, Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Joe Ferguson has made his way to the studio, and we really appreciate it. Joe, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Yesterday, Joe was just suffering terribly from a back issue, couldn't get out of bed.
But I'm here today.
He did. He soldiered on and made his way down to the KVOI studios. And Jim Nintzel, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim, how are you?
Doing better than Joe, it sounds like.
You are.
Joe, I'm very sorry to hear about your ailment. I hope you get better by holiday, man.
Jim, we'll begin with you. This is kind of get the ball rolling here. Top story locally of the year, Jim?
Oh, man, so much to choose from. The whole Me Too movement is certainly the big national story. I think the decision of Jeff Flake to step down and to seek re-election and the speech he gave was a huge moment. John McCain's diagnosis with cancer, but what I'm going to land on is the decision to rescind protections for the Dreamers, the DACA rescission. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah,
was there some eggnog? Were you drinking some of that spirited eggnog at the Tucson Weekly Tucson Media Group party this morning?
I'm afraid so. Management's gone for the day. We're trying to get a paper out. I think we're getting a little off track here, but okay. The DACA, I think, is huge and going to continue to be in the new year.
Joe Ferguson, what do you put at the top of your list?
Locally, we had some very big issues happening. So, you know, the scandal involving U of A sports this year, the decision to back Prop 101, and then down the road, a decision to not back the TUSD program, or the TUC programs, as well as the preschool education program. So a lot of local political issues that are popping up, as well as Martha McSally's ambiguous run for Senate.
Dylan?
You guys have pretty much, listed off the best of the top stories here.
They haven't gotten mine yet. So.
All right.
We've cheated.
I think, you know, Flake and McCain and the repercussions of the continuing repercussions of Me Too in Congress are setting up what is going to be one just a complete astounding scramble of an election year next year in Arizona. It's going to be just amazing the way money's going to pour into this place, and the attention from all over the country will be focused on Arizona politics for the entire next year. I think the thing I would look at as being one of the top stories is still a complete question mark as to what will happen. And that's, is Trump going to build the dang wall or not? Mm-hmm. And, how will that end up not just affecting our politics and the horse race and people yelling and screaming about it, but how will that affect our environment? How will that affect our trade with Mexico? You know, things that are very serious long-term repercussions for those of us who live here in southern Arizona.
I'm going to go a different route, and I know this will kind of get the people who say Tucson is the worst place on the planet to live. There is a narrative in this community that things are horrible. I will say that I think Caterpillar's decision to put a world headquarters in Tucson is a game changer. The commercial real estate developers tell me that the office or the industrial space is at a very low level, less than 5%, really all boding well for a changing economic picture. Any reaction from you gentlemen?
Things like that are big. There are some questions about projects like Worldview and whether that balloon will actually burst or not, as it were. Yeah, you're welcome. But,
the humanity of it.
Indeed. For us to become a, long-term, have a more stable economy and get away from this sort of boomer bust cycle with our, we've been based on real estate and expansion for so long. We need companies that produce real things, bringing in money from other places to here, rather than the sort of, so much of our economy has been based on sort of skimming off the top of money that flows out of town instead of things that bring money into town. And a business like Caterpillar, they're not going to build a big factory here.
No,
Be money flowing in to pay the people that work at this divisional headquarters.
I see it more
with
as
really
as,
good jobs.
I see it more as just the catalyst for others to come.
And that's, we've had some good things in biotech and aerospace. Certainly, Raytheon does bring money in from out of town to pay people to work good jobs here. But we need to have many more different sorts of things, and that will be, if that continues to happen, that'll be great.
Jim Nensel, what about, as Joe Ferguson pointed out, you call it the ambiguous campaign of Martha McSally. Jim, what is going on with that?
They're playing their cards pretty close to their vest at this point. We don't really know what's going on. I've heard any number of theories, the latest one, and again, just a theory. We don't know if this is really in the works or not, but that I've heard a suggestion that John McCain may be stepping down in the new year. There may be a plan to appoint Martha McSally to that seat by Doug Ducey. And then, of course, then she'd have to run for election to the seat, but in a position where she was already the incumbent and had a pretty good fundraising advantage over anybody else who'd want to get into that race. And Democrats have won Senate candidate for next year with Kyrsten Sinema running for the Flake seat, but they don't really have anyone in position to run for that McCain seat should it become available.
What do you think, Joe?
Well,
I've heard what Jim has heard, and Joe, you've probably heard that too, and Dylan, that when John McCain came home to Arizona, some were saying, that he will not be going back. Some were speculating he would not be going back to Washington, D.C., but he has twittered about it, right? Tweeted that he's definitely going back. But who knows? Joe, go ahead.
Well, I got McCain's Christmas card, as I'm sure you guys have, that said he's going back.
Yeah,
so that's a good sign. But, you know, I imagine that the McSally team is probably a little puzzled as to why Mitch McConnell is calling her one of his top recruits for the Senate, but he told that to the Washington Times yesterday. So it's always this kind of game of will she or won't she that's been going on for far too long now.
Months, right. Yeah. At this point. And that's got, other people sort of shuffling, trying to figure out what card they should play with Leah Marquez Peterson declaring that she's running for the CD2 seat for the Republicans, but saying that she will jump back out if McSally decides to seek re-election there. And Supervisor Ali Miller saying that if McSally does not run, that she is at least thinking about running in that Republican primary. And it's, not just that seat, but all over the place we see, the people trying to figure out how they might slot themselves in.
You speculated there's another seat that may be open, Dylan.
There are, rumors.
And what?
I've heard from, several people from various separate independent sources that there might be yet another resignation from Arizona's congressional delegation coming up.
You don't want to share with us?
Not quite yet.
Oh, okay.
Jim?
Maybe more than one. And I also hear, I don't want to say I hear this, I just want to point out that getting back to McSally, should she be appointed to McCain's seat, that does set up a special election for her congressional seat next year. And then we've got, Leah Marquez Peterson already moving forward with a campaign there. And that's going to be a high gear thing because you only have 90 days for that election. So that's going to be a real dash if
that happens. We'll see multiple special elections going on in Arizona in addition to all the other kerfuffle.
Has Congressman Grijalva announced he is running for re-election? Does anyone know that question?
He's taking money.
Okay, well,
his campaign's still up and running.
We will ask him when he's here next Friday. So, Jim, about Ali Miller, what do you think the chances are that she will get into this against Leah? You think it's slim?
I think she would be certainly a formidable candidate in a race like that, but I just don't see her having the courage to step forward and try to make that jump to the next level.
I understand, Dylan, you had an award to present to Ali Miller, and actually you appeared in a sports coat, looking great, looking sharp at the supervisors' meeting Tuesday.
Well, as our things are generally presented around the Christmas season, this was indeed a major award. The Arizona Press Club, of which Joe happens to be our esteemed president.
Really?
This
is a statewide group?
Yes, it's the group that represents Arizona's entire print and online press corps, the Arizona Press Club.
And you give an award to an elected official every year?
Yeah, we... an elected official or a government agency, depending. The journalists across the state determine the most deceptive government official or agency. This year was actually a tie with a former state legislator, David Gowan, and Supervisor Ali Miller. And, we want to make sure that people get a chance to receive this recognition. So I went to the supervisor's meeting to speak and gave Ali, it's actually a brick with her name engraved on it.
Wow, it's engraved in like a little trophy.
Indeed.
And she did eventually accept it.
Accepting is a different thing, but she did.
Possession is a question.
Oh, possession.
She did make sure that she had physical possession of her brick.
Yeah,
so quite pleased to ensure that she was able to hang
where it
to
is
that.
Now. Who knows? Jim, come on in.
I just hope it's not on top of a cabinet in her office. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Quickly, Joe Ferguson, you were at that meeting, weren't you?
I was at the meeting the week before.
Okay, and I understand Ali is not at all happy with her colleague, Republican colleague Steve Christie.
Yeah, they came out as a united front on changes to road conditions, and a week later, he was able to get money for his district, but only at the cost of Ali not getting the changes she wanted. So she's quite upset about that.
Not money for his district, but changes to the roads that'll be fixed in his district.
Correct.
I think he's actually taking a little bit less money in this first year with the changes that were proposed by his reps on that Citizens Committee.
Well, Allie believes that Mr. Christie, Supervisor Christie, has stabbed her in the back.
That's least, a quote, right?
Yeah, that's what she had said on her Facebook page. I believe that's as close to basically the crux of what she said.
I think that gets back to the old story of the scorpion and the frog, and Steve has learned now, having carried Allie across the river any number of times, that the scorpion in the end always ends up stinging you.
All right. Jim Nintzel, you have been the editor now of the weekly. Is it 6-month anniversary already or what?
It feels like years, but yeah, I think we're coming in on 6 months now. And I'm really very happy with the crew we put together over here. We're having a terrific time, and I think we're really looking forward to doing a collection of really great journalism in the year ahead. It's, we all have a resolution to kick some butt. So,
no, but it is looking good. The weekly is looking very good. Jim, thank you very much for your support with our program. I hope you and the little ones and all of you at the Nintzel household have a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, and such a great time to spend with you guys. Merry Christmas to all of you, and best of everything in the year ahead.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
And now Joe Ferguson, coming up in Sunday's paper. You'll have about 10 seconds to pitch this story.
I've got a new wrinkle in the Broadway mile widening. City money is being spent to both save buildings and tear them down.
And what are you doing for your back?
TLC, and I'm going to go over to Jim's place for some eggnog.
That'll help. All right. Merry Christmas to you, Joe.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Thank you for your support. Joe's the newest member of the Roundtable team, doing a fine job. Dylan, what are you going to do for you and your lovely wife and the dogs? Everybody's going to have a nice Christmas.
I think we're just going to hunker down with some eggnog. Maybe go raid Jim's stash.
There is a bottle of scotch, I believe, that is...
It's not a full bottle of scotch anymore.
Okay.
It's been nipped out a few times.
Good.
I've had a nip of the pinch here.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll be back with Matt Russell telling us what's coming up on the weekend for Weekend Watch. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, Weekend Watch, Holiday Edition with Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great holiday getaway just 3 hours east of Tucson. For the complete listing of the many fine places to stay in Silver City and Grant County and the many recreation opportunities, we invite you to check out their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly food and beverage writer, columnist Matt Russell, who also is the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications. He's still in his Santa suit, who he was entertaining and handing out gifts up at Russell Public this morning. And he likes that Santa suit. And it has, over the years, the alterations have been necessary.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about the cuisine and the cocktails and all of the camaraderie and the celebrations, what do you expect? I have to let another notch out of the Buckmaster belt again this week, Bill.
Of course. It may be Christmas, maybe holiday time, but I'm always ready for a burger. How about you?
Yeah, I tell you what, Tucson's burger boom continues this week with the opening of the second location of Gray's Premium Burgers. They're Midtown now, 5635 East Broadway. Now, these burgers come from all-natural, antibiotic-free, ranch-raised beef. And you can choose a single patty or do what I do and go double, of course, with a list of toppings that include some really fun flavors. Now, the French fries are legendary in their own right, Bill, fried twice in the traditional Belgian style, and I like those with a side of their curry ketchup. I got to tell you, Gray's Premium Burgers is making some noise this weekend.
What is the deal with these ugly sweaters?
Yeah, well, there are more opportunities this year for that ugly sweater than the office Christmas party. And Culinary Dropout at Grant Road Lumberyard, they're calling all ugly sweaters for a contest that has a big payout. Check this out. The rules are easy. Simply show up at the restaurant on Christmas Eve in your ugliest of sweaters, snap a selfie, post it on social media with the hashtag #VeryUglyCDOXmas. The winner's going to get a $100 gift card as well as a home bartending kit. And while you're there, enjoy this companion Night Before Christmas punch. Cover your eyes, Bill. The ugliness is coming out.
What if I want to dine out on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day?
Absolutely. Some of us are homebodies. We like the comforts of home for the celebrations, but plenty of restaurants are open during the holidays. Now, on Christmas Eve, I like the menus at the Cup Cafe, the Coronet. Even Harvest looks pretty tasty. And for Christmas Day, lots of restaurants celebrating. I like Pastiche, Lowe's Vintin and Canyon Resort. Even the Views restaurant up in Oro Valley, they're all planning some delicious things. As I say, Christmas cuisine and cocktails, let the celebration commence.
Great ideas. How about Inside Tucson Business?
Well, what happens, Bill, when you dump 9 pounds of fresh shucked oysters into a boiling malt that will soon become beer? My story on beer and bivalves is in this week's edition.
All right, Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly, we will look for the column. Matt, thank you for everything you do in support of this program. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Right back to you, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. All right, The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. So many people to thank, so little time. Christophon, our original theme music, there's a link to him at buckmastershow.com. Ray Allen, thank you, Ray, for all you do for my program. Tom Fairbanks also, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this radio station, Good News Communications, Jerry Cross, all the ladies up front who do such a great job. The list goes on and on. I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I know they want me to convey to you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.